Welcome to The Path to Visibility. I'm your host, Janice Mandel, and I'm here to take you under my wing and show you how to create the kind of visibility and reputation you've always dreamed of for your business or yourself. Through my decades of experience launching and managing brands for companies like Microsoft, American Express, and Procter & Gamble, and running my own public relations agency, I know that small and medium-sized businesses can benefit from many of the same strategies and tactics that big companies use to attract attention. I'll be interviewing successful entrepreneurs, marketing pros, and members of the media, and offering actionable tips of my own so you can learn how to do just that. So if you're looking for an effective way to get the word out and build a solid reputation for your brand, look no further. You found it. Let's get started. Hey there. Thanks for tuning in. I'm really glad you're here because I'm very excited about today's topic, which is all about the importance of building visibility, but doing it in a way that's also authentic to you. This is something I hear about from people all the time, and if I'm being honest, I share many of the same views. Because let's face it, building visibility is important because it creates awareness and this helps you stand out from the competition. But the problem, though, is when we have limited funds for marketing, we're often forced to create visibility by doing things that might make us feel uncomfortable, whether that's being active on social media, networking, building an email list, engaging with influencers, or even creating content like a blog or a podcast. These are things that just don't come naturally to everyone. But it doesn't have to be that way, and today we're going to talk about why and how to overcome any reservations you may have about marketing yourself and your business. This episode was born because, well, first of all, I really don't like hype. That might seem unusual for someone in public relations because PR is all about creating buzz, awareness, recognition, attention, interest, however you want to label it. You know, for products, services, people, places, messages, you get the idea. But to me, there's always a way to do that without relying on hype. And just to be clear, I'm defining hype as promoting something heavily in a way that exaggerates its importance or benefits. I think I was sensitized to the dangers of hype when I first started working in PR because one of my early clients was Nintendo. It was a fun client to work on, but they were always launching games and upgrades to their gaming platform. And so was the competition. Sega and Sony were also launching things constantly. We were all after the same media attention, which led to the creation of something called vaporware. Vaporware is software or hardware that's launched and promoted, but never released to consumers. Everyone in the gaming market did this, and I saw very quickly what happens when something is hyped but never materializes. It leads to a lot of disappointment and criticism. Today, there's hype everywhere, and I think the sheer amount of it has made people feel uneasy about marketing. That's why I wanted to talk about the idea of creating visibility, which is how many people think of marketing their own business or personal brand, and put that alongside the notion of being authentic. Because I think people worry about coming across as unauthentic or fake or insecure, and sometimes that prevents them from getting their message out. In fact, I was doing some research and I asked people running a small business and building a personal brand what they do to market themselves and get the word out. I was actually really surprised because I heard things like, oh, I do very little marketing, and our current marketing is non-existent, and it's very difficult for me to talk about myself. I don't like to do it, you know, and I know I need to put more energy into getting my message out, but it's just not in my nature to put myself out there. Do you relate to any of these comments? Because I do. Now, some people are naturally introverts who don't like to call attention to themselves. But that's not everyone. For example, I'm not an introvert at all. I'm an extrovert. My personality's been tested and I know this. But I also find it difficult to, quote unquote, put myself out there. You know, interestingly, I never have any problem promoting a corporate brand or even a client's personal brand. I've helped many companies, spokespeople, executives, and business owners build their profiles. But when it's me that I'm trying to create visibility for, all of a sudden it becomes uncomfortable. And I know one of the reasons is because I feel awkward doing it. But I found ways to overcome this both for my business and for myself, because as we all know, marketing is necessary. Here's the good news. Seth Godin, who wrote the books Purple Cow and All Marketers Are Liars, among many others, believes we should think differently about marketing. I heard him being interviewed by Donald Miller, who wrote another excellent book called Building a Story Brand. There were so many insights being thrown out in this interview, I could barely keep up, but I'm going to share a few of them with you now. First of all, Seth Godin says that people sell differently than they buy. He says, and I quote, "When people are buying things, they're looking for 1,000 clues and cues, from facial expressions to why it reminds them of their grandparents. But when we sell, we treat marketing like a technical topic and lose sight of the human elements that motivate buying decisions." So if the marketing aspect of your job feels uninspiring, then you may have lost sight of the human element. And that's easy to do because we spend a lot of time learning formulas and processes for marketing. Think about it. If you're a marketer, you've probably looked for advice on best practices for things like how to post on social media, where to post, how to draft sales copy, that sort of thing. And, you know, and that's all fine. But the problem is formulas tend to turn off our creativity, and that churns out mediocre results. You can see that when you look at advertising. A lot of it follows a formula of some kind, and most of it's forgettable. The memorable ads are the ones that break the formula. When you do that, you can actually get great work. Think about the song, "I'd Like to Buy the World a Coke," or the ad, "The Man Your Man Could Smell Like" for Old Spice. Those were memorable. So what does that mean for us small business owners who want to market authentically? It actually means we're fortunate, because we're living in the age of something that Seth Godin calls permission marketing. That means that if we find our people, the ones who want to hear from us because they've opted into our newsletter or subscribed to our blog or podcast or, you know, even follow us on social media, then we have a way to engage with potential customers and the opportunity to create a positive relationship with them. The ball is in our court, so to speak, and the dynamic that we choose to create with our audience is up to us. And it can set us apart from the bad marketers who generate hype and try to pressure their audience into buying. You can take advantage of permission marketing by thinking about who wants to hear from you, who would miss you if you were gone, who do you have permission to contact? Because if you're creative, reaching out to them is something you can do better than your competition. At this point, you may be thinking, yikes, I'm not creative. I have no idea how to stand out. But I think you do. And this is where authenticity truly comes in. Because as Seth Godin says, it takes authentic creativity to build a tribe of people who truly want what you have to offer and to relate to them in a way that's meaningful and consistent. That's how you develop true fans. And more good news, you don't need a huge number of them to be successful. Because a true fan is someone who will buy anything you produce. There's a famous essay on this called 1,000 True Fans that was written in 2008 by Wired magazine editor Kevin Kelly. I'll link to it in the show notes for those of you who haven't heard of it. You should check it out because it's great. Kevin Kelly says, if you have a direct relationship with your fans through something like a blog, podcast, newsletter, social following, or community, and you can come up with a way to earn $100 a year from each of them, then you only need 1,000 True Fans to earn $100,000, which is a good living for most people. What's really exciting about the concept of 1,000 true fans is that it levels the playing field. Because in the digital age, small business owners like us actually have a better chance of establishing a direct relationship with customers than a big faceless company. Because people prefer to interact with other people they can get to know, like, and trust. So now let's move on and talk about what it means to be authentic. Authenticity is about being real, honest, and genuine. When you're authentic, your words and actions are aligned with your values and beliefs. Authenticity is something I relate to because I've always been told that I'm a very genuine person. At first, I didn't really understand what that meant. Eventually, though, I got more feedback and realized that people appreciate my honesty and it helps me build trust. When I was younger, I had a tendency to be a little too honest, but I learned how to be diplomatic as I matured. In my business, which is about helping people cultivate an image or communicate a message, qualities like genuineness, honesty, and authenticity can be very helpful. But authenticity brings value to many areas of life because it allows us to build trust and deepen connections with other people. And in the professional world, it can also help us establish credibility and earn respect. Obviously, there's no one right way to be authentic because we're all different. and have our own beliefs and values. But there are steps you can take to build visibility in a way that feels authentic to who you are. And hopefully by doing that, you can overcome most of the discomfort that you would otherwise feel when marketing your business or personal brand. Like I said, we're all a little different, but I thought I would share the principles I've used with clients over the years and the steps I'm using myself because I'm right there with you building my own visibility right now beyond my existing network. And I'm trying to do it in a way that feels authentic to me. So first of all, you have to be brave. I know this may sound trite, but the fact is that it takes courage to put your business and yourself out there. Also, it's crucial to take action because as Seth Godin says in the interview I referenced earlier, a business that never reaches the market is perfect and also wasted because it didn't change anybody. You can spend a lot of time thinking about something and perfecting it, as many people do, but it's not until you take action that you get some clarity about your idea or your business. And this leads you to start building momentum or, at the very least, learn something. You have to have your idea in front of a potential customer to really know what they think of it. And today it's easier than ever to do that because you don't have to release your business or even your ideas to the entire market to know whether or not they resonate. Gone are the days of Dryell, Fit, and Olay Cosmetics. These are all brands I helped launch at Procter & Gamble with multi-million-dollar budgets, and I know you've probably never heard of them, and that's because they failed miserably. Something that happens far less often today because you can easily test a concept or an idea simply by putting it on social media to see what kind of reaction and engagement you get. That's how a lot of people test their thinking these days. Here's a little hack for getting an idea started. If you have a presence on Twitter, you can put your idea into a Twitter thread. That's a series of tweets. Google it if you're not familiar with the term. Then you publish your thread and see what kind of reaction it gets. If there's any traction, you can expand it into a LinkedIn post. A lot of writers do that, like journalists, authors, and thought leaders. If the idea gets engagement, it may become an article or a podcast episode or even a book. The key, though, is to get the concept out into the market and test it. The idea of testing is not new to me. It's something I learned working at P&G, and it makes being brave and taking risks a lot easier because it allows you to fail fast and learn. And this is a valuable concept for a business of any size. I remember when I was working at P&G, we had a huge success in Argentina with something called performance advertising. It involved hiring actors to walk through the aisle at the grocery store disguised as shoppers. Then without warning, the actors would stop and break into a live ad. When the ad ended, the shoppers went back to what they were doing like nothing happened. The goal was to get consumers excited about a product right at the store shelf. And the Cheer Laundry brand decided to give it a try here in Canada. Well, in South America, people thought it was great fun and it helped product sales. But in Canada, where we're known to be a little more reserved, customers reacted by literally bolting out of the aisle at the grocery store, and some even complained to store management. So that idea didn't catch on. But thankfully, it was a test that went live in just a few stores before it went national. So we were able to dial it back without spending much money, and we learned a lot. The moral of this story is to be brave and get your ideas into the market as quickly as you can, because that's the only way to know if your work is resonating with the audience. The second principle is you have to be willing to be your true self and share some of your personal experiences in a way that's honest, even if that means showing some vulnerability. I know you're probably thinking, why would I want to show vulnerability in my marketing? Well, because being vulnerable can actually help you build stronger connections with your audience. Think about it. When we see someone who appears to have everything together and never makes mistakes, it can be hard to relate to them. That used to be me. I never wanted anyone to see me fail or even struggle. I thought it made me look weak. But when someone shows their imperfections and struggles, it actually makes them look brave, human, and easier to connect with. So by showing vulnerability, you're letting your audience see behind the curtain, and that makes them feel like they know you on more of a personal level. I'm so glad that I learned that lesson because it has made a big difference in the way that I show up on social media. If you look at my LinkedIn posts, you'll see that I'm sharing my journey as I move from corporate and small business consulting into online training and coaching. And it's interesting because people comment on my posts, but I also get a fair number of messages and phone calls from, you know, all kinds of people who are interested in talking to me personally and even working with me. So how do you incorporate vulnerability into your marketing? Here are a few ideas. You can do what I'm trying to do, and that's share your journey. Let your audience know how you got to where you are today. Share your struggles and successes along the way. That not only makes you more relatable, but it also shows your audience that you understand what they're going through. I'll include a link to one of my more vulnerable LinkedIn posts in the show notes so you can see what I mean. You can also take your audience behind the scenes and show them what goes into creating your products and services, or give them a peek into your office or workspace. This gives them a better understanding of what you do. I did this for the first time a couple of weeks ago. I posted a candid selfie that I took at my desk, which, if I'm honest, took me like 10 tries, and in the end, I posted a photo I didn't really like, but that's fine. I wanted to show people what I've been up to because I've been posting about my journey, so I talked about celebrating the one-month anniversary of my new podcast, and I explained what I've learned so far. I also pointed out that it wasn't necessarily the things I expected to learn. Several people said it was helpful and inspiring for them. Another thing to keep in mind is that it's important to be honest with your audience. If something didn't go as planned or didn't turn out the way you wanted it to, share that. It shows that you're not perfect and takes some of the pressure off for other people. I'll admit that when I decided to take a course from Amy Porterfield, who is a very successful online marketer, I was a little intimidated by her. And I don't intimidate easily. But the thing is, traditional marketing is very familiar to me and something I understand well. But online marketing is very different and complicated. I know it's all marketing, but to me, learning about sales funnels and webinars and building an email list is kind of like learning how to write with your left hand when you're right-handed. By sharing my trials and tribulations in my social posts, though, and in various Facebook groups and online communities that I've joined, because they're a great place to network and build visibility, I've actually gotten a lot of encouragement and made friends and found like-minded colleagues. And this is helping my business grow already, and it's just early days. Finally, the third principle in marketing authentically is to be consistent. It's so important and simple, but honestly, I think it's often overlooked. Consistency is something Seth Godin writes about quite a bit. He emphasizes the importance of showing up consistently and delivering value to your audience, even when you don't want to, or as he says, especially when you don't want to. So what does it mean to be consistent? It means showing up and delivering value. This helps you demonstrate your commitment to the needs of your audience and customers, and that builds trust over time. And trust goes a long way. So if you write a blog or publish a podcast, as a lot of small business owners do, stick to your schedule. I know it's hard, but it makes a big difference in the kind of results you get. I am literally moving mountains to publish my podcast every week. It's hard, much harder than I thought. I could cut back to every other week or once a month, but I don't want to. I've learned by talking to others that publishing weekly is the best way to grow. But also, people have messaged me to say that they wait for my new episodes, which really blew me away and motivated me, because every time I talk to someone who says they learned something from my podcast, I get a little boost. And that helps me when I'm burning the midnight oil to get an episode out. Another way of being consistent is with quality. Good quality is noticed and valued no matter what you do. Maybe because so many things are generic and substandard these days and quality is hard to come by. But if you go the extra mile and deliver a high quality product or service, your reputation will benefit and so will you. Because ultimately, it should allow you to charge more over time. It will also help you create a loyal customer base, lead to referrals, and generate other business opportunities that take you in new and beneficial directions. Plus, the compliments you get can be turned into testimonials for your website and sales material. And finally, it's important to have a consistent message. Marketing is your message, and consistency is what drives it home. If you want people to understand what you're trying to say, you need to feel comfortable repeating yourself, because it works amazingly well. Message consistency also builds trust. Here's an example of what I mean. Years ago, I joined a company that was in dire need of a rebrand. It was called the Ontario New Home Warranty Program, and it was a regulatory and insurance business in the new home and condo industry. Bad decisions and slow administration had created serious reputational issues, plus most homebuyers, who were our customers, did not even know we existed. So we got to work and eventually came up with Terrion, Protecting Ontario's New Homebuyers, as our new name and tagline. There was a lot of concern that people would keep calling the company by its old name and unfortunate acronym, which was ONWIP. So we made sure that when we launched the new name, we had a clear and consistent explanation of why we made the name change. And we used that messaging over and over with every audience, from builders and homebuyers to employees and suppliers to the media and the government. And that consistency paid off because the new name took off and we were able to raise awareness about Terrion and its mandate by 20% within 12 months and improve the company's reputation. I know that's not the most glamorous example, but it was incredible how effective message consistency was in getting across our new name and educating customers about our mandate. We were consistent, and as a result, people started to trust what we were saying. So let's recap, because I feel like we covered a lot today. First, we talked about why marketing and building visibility sometimes makes us uncomfortable because we feel like we're being fake or insincere. I shared some comments from small business owners like, "It's not in my nature to put myself out there," which many of us can relate to. Then I talked about how Seth Godin believes we should see marketing less as a process or formula and more as human interaction, especially because we're building communities and tribes today who actually want to hear from us, so we have the opportunity to set whatever tone we want with our marketing. And we talked about how easy it is to test concepts and thinking before going all in with a business or idea. Then we got into what it means to be authentic and some of the principles I use in my own marketing and how to apply them. So I talked about the importance of being brave, being your true self, and being consistent. I hope you learned something today. If you did, please share Path to Visibility with a friend or fellow small business owner. Text them a link, or better yet, post about it on social. Let's help others with a small business or personal brand learn how to improve their visibility and reputation. Thanks again for listening. See you next week. I hope to have a guest episode for you that I'm really excited about. In the meantime, keep following your path to visibility. I'll be right there with you.